Did you happen to pull over a 77 Dodge Monaco? The driver was a black teenager.
Yeah. Ran a stop sign.
It was failure to signal.
Whatever. Who are you, the activist on the force?
No, I'm a father on the force, and that kid was my son.
I can see you being upset and all, but hey, it was your kid that messed up, so don't try and take it out on me, all right?
No, it's not all right. And do you know why it's not all right, Evans? Because I think that you rousted my son.
No way. He fit the description of a carjacker we've been looking for.
That will not cut it, Evans. Because I am familiar with all of the outstanding carjacking bulletins, and not one suspect even remotely resembles my son.
Come on, give me a break. It's dark. It's a black guy.
Oh, case closed. Lock him up.
You know, bottom line, your kid was in the wrong part of town.
The wrong part of town?
Yeah.
Oh, so what are you saying? That black kids aren't allowed in white neighborhoods?
They wouldn't be there unless they were looking for trouble. And you better talk to your kid. He gave me a lot of lip.
Is that why you made him get out of his car? Is that why you forced him to lie down? Is that why you cuffed him?
Search, if your son had just told us he was a cop's kid, it would have been no problem.
So what do you say? That you only harass black kids whose parents aren't cops?
I didn't say that.
You didn't have to say that. Because the point is that you two harassed my son because he's black.
You can't prove that.
I'm a young black man doing all that I can to stand. Oh, but when I look around and I see what's being done to my kind every day, I'm being hunted as prey. My people don't want no trouble. We've had enough jungle. I just wanna live. God protect me. I just wanna live. I just wanna live.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to I Can't Make This Up. This is your girl, Frenchie B. And today I have a special guest, a Chicago, Illinois native. Actually from the area of Englewood. And welcome, Cam Anonymous. How are you?
I'm good. Wait, I gotta do it one time. Englewood.
I wanted to do that, but I didn't want to sound corny. Like Englewood.
Yeah, you can't do that. You're in front of Englewood.
I was trying to be all nice and neat.
I had to do it. I'm
like,
I gotta do it.
Thank you for breaking the ice. So how are you doing today? What's going on?
I'm doing great.
Tell us where you're calling from. Where you calling in from?
I'm here from Phoenix, Arizona right now. This is where I am now. New resident here. For how long, I don't know, but that's where I'm at. Like you said, from Chicago, Englewood.
Okay. What's it like being a black man in America today, like right now, with everything that's going on with the George Floyd, the riots? What's it like being a black male in America, and also a soldier, a black male soldier / from the streets in America? Are you conflicted? That's what I want to know.
When you break it down for real, like when you really break it down, it's at the end of the day, you gotta be a soldier to be in the streets.
Okay, prolific with the rebuttals.
that's just real. You gotta be a soldier to be in the streets. So I was already a soldier. They just when I went to the military, they helped me hone my skills. I'll say it like that. They helped me sharpen my sword. They made me look at things in a different light of just being illegal, but legal ways to do everything. Because everything has a legality to it.
Okay, a loophole, if you will.
I'm not going to say a loophole.
Okay.
The only reason I'm not going to say a loophole. A loophole is something that gives you a little bit of push that you can get around something. It wasn't really about getting around it. It's something that's right in front of you and you just didn't know that it existed yet.
Oh, you didn't know a name for it, the definition. Exactly. Okay, and how to handle it.
Exactly. Or that you're even able to do it, especially being a black man. Because like the question you asked me said, how does it feel being a black man and a soldier? You had to differentiate that. Being right. a soldier means you like you always at arms and you're there. You're being that protector, that leader, that follower when need to be. So do I have to really differentiate it? Nah, not really. It's certain times, but that's what everything in life that you can only, you're supposed to give certain types of energy to certain types of to situations.
Okay, so let me reiterate the question. Because that is a great answer to the question, but not exactly the answer I was looking to receive. The only reason why I'm saying that is because thinking of military, thinking of a soldier, upholding the law, or not really so much upholding the law, but being given an assignment by the government to, execute and you know, I guess go to battle for. Okay. So in that respect, I guess I'm asking that because you have a moral code to follow when it comes to being a soldier and having a certain sense of discipline and sensibility to react and how you react to certain things, opposed to being, like you said, a lawless person on the streets. And not in the sense that everybody on the streets is lawless, okay? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that RNS, you know.
No, yeah, I get what you're saying. You're talking about, we're talking about me at this point, so yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking, like, are you conflicted with how you want to respond to what's happening today? Do you have to think in a more sensible way because you're a soldier now? Or are you caught between, look, I really go, this is my reality. Before I became a soldier, I went through things and like that.
I think the easiest way and the most blunt way to answer your question would be just to spit it out. That's what I'm gonna do right here.
Go ahead.
And with that being said,
yeah, button up that collar. Suck in that gut. Tuck in them big black lips. Lighten your skin. Shrink up that nose.
I don't have to listen to this.
Where you going, boy?
Let me buy.
Let you buy? Let you buy. Let me tell you something, boy. You can march like the white man. Talk like him. You can learn his songs. You can even wear his suits, but you ain't never gonna be nothing to him but an ugly ass chimp in a blue suit. Oh, you don't like that, do you?
No.
But what we gonna do about it? You want to fight me, boy? Huh? What you gonna do about it? You want to fight me, don't you? Don't you? Come on, Nick.
All right.
Hey, get your hands off me, Grave Dick.
Damn it. Does the whole world got a stump in your face?
Nigga, you better get your hands off me.
Ain't no niggas around here, you hear me?
Oh, I see. So the white man give you a couple of stripes. Next thing you know, you hollering, ordering everybody around like you the master himself. Yeah. Nigga, you ain't nothing but the white man's dog.
And what are you? So full of hate, you just want to go out and fight everybody. Because you've been whipped and chased by hounds. Well, that might not be living, but it sure as hell ain't dying. And dying's what these white boys been doing for going on 3 years now. Dying by the thousands. Dying for you, fool. I know, because I dug the graves. And all the time I'm digging, I'm asking myself when, oh Lord, is going to be our time? Well, time's coming when we're going to have to ante up. Ante up and kick in like men. Like men!
You watch who you call a nigger. If any niggers around here, it's you.
smart mouth, stupid ass, swamp running nigga. You ain't careful, that's all you ever gonna be.
Yes, the answer to your question is yes. I'm saying, do you have to think about things differently? You have to differentiate times. And the reason I say yes, because the way I feel, I'm just like, you're gonna say RNS, fuck this shit, let's get it. Like, that's how I feel. That's how I feel when it comes down to what's going on in America, to what's been going on, to certain situations that I've been in. And especially after the training that I've had from the streets and from the military, yeah, let's get it. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. You're gonna put your fist up, or I'm gonna take them from you, whichever one you want. It doesn't matter to me. That type of feeling. So yeah, but it takes, because everybody's not bad. I can't look at everybody in their face like, oh, you're white, so you're bad. Or you're Hispanic, so you're bad. So you're black like me, so you're bad. I can't do that. So it does take time. Some people ain't used to being in the limelight or being on the front line or having to even answer for their own, will get the repercussions from what they have already done, their own actions. Some people still not ready for that and have not experienced that. So sometimes you have to be patient with different types of people.
Understandable. So basically, you know, you understand the art of war, though.
Yes.
Are you familiar with the book?
Sun Tzu. Yes.
Okay.
And, was that one of your trivia questions?
No, actually, it wasn't. It was not. I saved my trivia for the end. Thanks for being this. What do you call that? What is it? A spoiler? Spoiler alert?
Spoiler alert.
But no, honestly, I just really, you know, a lot of things I'm seeing right now, this is just my take on it. And I don't know if it's because I'm older now, but I've always been more sensible in my movements and how I seek to move, even though I just learned how to play chess. Inside trait. And my son, my grown son is who really broke it down to me, because when I was little, okay, my uncle, who was my favorite uncle, okay, because he's like, I was raised in a family where you had to think, you know, you was always challenged to challenge what you've been told. Like, you never to take something for face value. You never trust anything or anyone, and you never speak a word that you don't know the meaning to, even if it's the smallest, most feeble, you know, word.
Yeah.
And I don't think any word can be feeble, but I'm just saying, you know, like, even the, you know, dissect the. What is the? What is the? It's two different things, you know? And, so in that respect, my uncle, he would sit me down and we, you know, I won't say how old I am, but I'm not ashamed. I'm an 80s baby, 90s girl.
Ooh.
So I grew up where we had board games, you know, and one of the board games, the starter pack of board games.
Respectfully, Queen, you're not going to downplay me like that and just say, I grew up where we had board games. I did too, okay?
Okay. I'm not saying it like that. I'm saying everybody's to the quick right now. Like, everything is instant gratification. Everything is digital. Everything is phone this, phone that, iTablet, iPad, whatever. Yeah.
They even got Uno on the phones these days. I'm like, Uno? Uno? You know what I mean?
but at the same time, like, you know, we had the starter pack. We had chess. We had checkers, but first checkers. You know, it was always checkers because I grew up a sore loser. All right. I grew up a sore loser. I grew into a fierce winner and a tenacious person, a persevering person, no matter if you think you're failing right now, failure is nothing but practice. So I grew into those thought processes. It wasn't an overnight success when it came to how I'm looking at things now. And so I'm saying, like, we had the starter pack, we had Connect Four, we had Monopoly, we had checkers, we had chess, but chess always sat there on the side.
Nobody ever played chess.
No, only because my uncle always used to put the game out, and he used to be like, come on, you got to learn how to play this game. And for me, everybody's different, and I'm a visual learner, but I'm also a, you know, a book, like a visual and an audio learner, you know, audio visual, but more visual learner. So it's like, you know, you could tell me stuff, I can hear you, but it might go in one ear and come out the other.
You know, I understand that. I
told me, if you make me understand, I'm gonna, if you just make it make sense, you gotta make it make sense for me to get it. And then I could get it. And I don't think he ever made it make sense to me, because I was always under the impression that it was the queen's game, that chess was all about the queen, but it was never about the queen. It's always been about the king.
Exactly.
But the queen make all the moves, and you got the pawns, but everybody looked down on the pawns, but the pawns
can make pawn it into, is a potential queen.
Into the back row. The pawns can make it into the back row and actually become anything they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So but see how I'm now explaining it to you, because, and I'm mad excited. I'm so excited because, and this is what I mean. Like, not going off topic, but on topic, but, you know, or on a subtopic. Kids, children, if you teach them right, they can teach you. And the one thing that I've discovered about kids is that they're the ones that teach us how to love. Because you never know you can love something so much until you have a kid, or until you're responsible for someone and you really love them. And me teaching my kid enabled him to grow up to teach me some shit. And literally, he did. And if it were not for him, I would not know anything about the game of chess. But I said that to say, a lot of people are playing checkers instead of chess because they're taking the easy way. It's easy to be out here running crazy, running rampant. I know you angry. Look, I'm from the streets, all right? Where you get punched in your throat, you get drop kicked, but I had to grow up. I'm a lady, and I have a young lady I'm raising, and I have a son that I raised. So, like, you grow out of playing checkers all day, because checkers is all about jumping and jumping this and jumping that and jumping over this and becoming a king. And you can become a king at any time, whenever you want. But that's not the real world. That's a fantasy unicorn life.
Turn 7 to a 14. 14 to a whole day. Lord knows it's a cold game. Switched up on you hoes, man. Big body take both flames. Backseat blowing propane. All black, fire gold chains. Young rich nigga bossed up on his own, man. My new shit sound like a soul train. Tookie Williams over Soul Train. Eric B by the rope chain. RC, we for show bang. Tiny Lokes and they go crazy. What you know about the dope gang? Was you born in the 80s? Did your mama smoke cocaine? Have you ever seen the whole thing? But you drove to the streets cause you grew up on show change. Fucked up when the dope bash. It remind me when these rappers dropped us and they clothes change. At the park with the low fade. I was standing in front of Knicks with my sack for the whole day. Drive-bys, that was road rage. When we park and hop out, learn levels to this whole thing. Old school, play the OJs, tryna make a slow change. Mama still slaving for a low wage. Tryna double up, yeah. Three or four times, I ain't telling no lies, I just run it up. Never let a hard time humble us. Double up. I ain't telling no lies. I just
yeah.
I ain't telling no lies. I just
up 5, 4, 3, 2. That's time. I lie to you. That money, my dreams come true. My life in diamonds. Who knew?
Who knew?
Down.
money and chain too.
Let me down.
Whoa. It's hard to catch what you can't see. I grew up to be who I wanna be, so the more niggas talk, I'ma shine. Might have been way before it's time. Posted with my back against the wall. Life is a bitch, but she mine. The rag 6-2, yeah, it's mine. The west side 2, yeah, it's mine. What you know about? Your poster on the wall at the dealership. Leaving the bed, legs trembling. Getting banged on for your penalties. What you know about? Your response be the reason you exist. Lucky I ain't get caught up in the twist. Young nigga, blue pager on my hip, so as the champagne spill and the car accelerate and the feet gon' cry, I'll be going to the bank at least 3-4 times. Getting handshakes from the branch managers. We keep doing fly shit when the cameras cut.
Double up, yeah. 3-4 times, I ain't telling no lies, I just run it up. Never let a hard time humble us. Double up. I ain't telling no lies, I just.
Yeah.
I ain't telling no lies, I just.
5, 4, 3, 2, that's time. I'm not to you, that money. My dreams come true, my life in diamonds. Who knew?
Who knew? Who knew?
Called a colored man after answering to, "Hey, nigga." Now that's a big jump anyway you figure. "Hey, baby, watch my smoke." From colored man to Negro with the N in caps was like saying Japanese instead of saying Japs. I mean, during the war. The next big step was a change for true. From Negro in caps to being a Jew. Now sing Yiddish, your mama. Light, yellow, brown, and dark brown skin were okay colors to describe him then. He was a bouquet of roses. But if you want to drag him, I'm telling you, Jack, just make the mistake of calling him black. Honey, I don't play that. Let me hip you to the streets, Jim. Ain't nothing happening. Maybe some tomorrow's going up in smoke. Raggedy preachers telling a joke to lonely, sunless old ladies' maids. Nothing happening. Nothing shaking, Jim. Oh, there's a slew of young cats riding that cold white horse. A gray old monkey on their back, of course, does rodeo tricks. No haps, baby. No haps. A worn-out pimp with a space-age conk setting up some fool for a game of tonk or poker or get 'em dead and alive. The streets, climb in the streets like you climb in the ass end of a lion. Then it's fine. It's a boogaloo and a shing-a-ling. It's African dreams on a buck and a wing and a prayer. That's the streets, baby. Nothing happening.
It was a book that I read when I was younger, and it's now a movie. It's called The Giver. That's checkers. That's how people say.
It gives you instant gratification. It gives you everything.
Exactly. Instant gratification.
Because I could never. I would cry with chess and I would definitely cry with Monopoly because I was always losing. I didn't get that either at first. But, and I always just wanted that $200 in pass go. Like, I wanted to get that pass go and get that $200. Like, give me my money. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, it was a bigger...
It's a bigger picture.
It was a way bigger meaning behind them, behind it, you know?
You were stuck on checkers. That was your whole thing. That was definitely your whole thing.
The moment. I was stuck on... I wasn't even stuck on the now. Because Eckhart Tolle talks about being in the now. The now moment would be the patient moment because nothing moves fast. Nothing, it has to, in order to gain momentum, you have to let it take time to work and take time to, some moves are quick. Sometimes you play chess and you can make an instant move. Some moves, you gotta wait a whole month before you make a chess move. You know, it just depends. But with checkers, I'm thinking about what I'm going to feel like in a little bit. Like, what I'm going to feel like in the future when I whoop somebody's, you know what, by beating them in checkers. You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking about tomorrow. I'm thinking about the past and how it made me, how I was feeling before I started playing the game. And now I want to show off that I can really play the game. So I'm not living in the moment because the live in the moment is to go with time. You don't go against the grain with time. So I you know, and I just see how things are right now in the world and people are playing checkers. They're just thinking about whatever, like what they did to me, what has happened. They're living in the past and they're living in the future. Oh, we're going to get our freedom. We're going to get this. They're not even seeing the actual picture that's going on right now and the setup to the fail. Because in the art of war, you realize there is discipline to be had.
It is very dangerous to make a person larger than life because then... young men and women are tempted to believe, well, if he was that great, he's inaccessible. And I can never try to be that or emulate that or achieve that. The truth is, Martin Luther King was a human being with a brilliant mind, a powerful heart, and an insight and courage, and also with a sense of humor. So he was accessible. I mentioned courage, and I would like to say something else about that, finding courage in the leaders and in you who will become leaders. Courage is the most important of all the virtues, because without courage, you can't practice any other virtue consistently. You see? You can't be consistently kind or fair or humane or generous, not without courage, because if you don't have it, sooner or later you'll stop and say, the threat is too much, the difficulty is too high, the challenge is too great. So I would like to say that Dr. King, while we know from all the publicity that he was brilliant and he was powerful, he was passionate and right, he was also a funny man, and that's nice to know.
I realized this at the end of the day, especially what's going on in the world. There are people out here, and especially people of our pigmentation, of our melanated skin, that... we're doing what we're doing for a reason. When I say what we're doing for a reason. I'll give you a prime example with myself. I have yet to go to a march, a riot, a protest, and I'm probably not going. I'll be honest with you. The reason because I don't need to be out there. I had to hit the whisper because I'm playing chess. As they say even in the movies, it's the reason behind it. The chess, not checkers, motherfucker. Like that's already next. That's why I tell you that.
Little stuff, yep.
Because at the end of the day, that's what it is. I'm not finna sit here and say, oh, I'm finna give you the reason, not the reason, I'm finna give you my face and everything else to tell you, oh, you know I'm coming for you. This is chess. I'm gonna send my pawns out. These are my pawns. They're gonna stand in the street and they're gonna argue with you because y'all gonna sit there and y'all gonna bump heads. Y'all not gonna get nowhere. But when it's time for these knights and these rooks and these bishops and these queens to move, we move for real.
And you know what Biggie said, you and Biggie born on the same day, Gemini season, to move. I mean, killers move in silence and violence, but the art of war is even when you are when you are trying to perpetuate the violence, you move in silence because you don't want your opponent to see you coming. With that being said, let me go and pay these bills. We'll be right back. This is Cam Anonymous and Frenchie B on I Can't Make This Up. And listen, I can't make this shit up.
Eaglewood.
I'm in the now. And it don't take no x-ray to see right through my smile. I know I be on the go. And it ain't no drink out there that can numb my soul. Oh no. And all we wanna do is take the chains off. All we wanna do is break the chains off, man. All we wanna do is be free. All we wanna do is be free. All we want to do is take the chains off. All we want to do is break the chains off. All we want to do is be free. All we want to do is be free. Can you tell me why? Every time I step outside, I see my niggas die. Oh, I'm letting you know that it ain't no gun they make that can kill my soul. All we wanna do is take the chains off. All we wanna do is take the chains off. All we wanna do is be free. All we wanna do is be free. All we wanna do is take the chains off. All we wanna do is break the chains off. All we wanna do is be free. All we wanna do is be free.
So now it's like the officer's pulling him inside the car. He's trying to pull away. And at no time the officer said that he was gonna do anything. Until he pulled out his weapon was drawn, and he said, I'll shoot you, or I'm going to shoot. And in the same moment, the first shot went off. And we looked at him, he was shot, and it was blood coming from him. And we took off running.
Are we all alone, fighting on our own? Please give me a chance. I don't wanna dance, something's got me down. Stand my ground. Don't just stand around. Don't just stand around.
And as we took off running, I ducked and hid for my life because I was fearing for my life. And I hid by the first car that I saw. My friend, he kept running. And he told me to keep running because he feared for me too. So as he was running, the officer was trying to get out of the car. And once he got out the car, he pursued my friend, but his weapon was drawn. Now, he didn't see any weapon drawn at him or anything like that, us going for no weapon. His weapon was already drawn when he got out the car. He shot again, and once my friend felt that shot, he turned around and he put his hands in the earth, and he started to get down, but the officer still approached with his weapon drawn, and he fired several more shots, and my friend died.
All we want to do is take the chains off. All we want to do is break the chains off.
Seeing a lot of things talking of the people making commentary. Interestingly enough, the ones I've noticed that have been making the commentary are wealthy Black people making the commentary about we should not be rioting, we should not be looting, we should not be tearing up our own communities. And then there's been an argument of the other side of we should be hitting them in the pocket. We should be focusing on the blackout days where we don't spend money. But, you know, I feel like we should do both. And I feel like I support both. And I'll tell you why I support both. I support both because there, when you have a civil unrest like this, there are three types of people in the streets. There are the protesters, there are the rioters, and there are the looters. The protesters are there because they actually care about what is happening in the community. They want to raise their voices, and they are there strictly to protest. You have the rioters who are angry, who are anarchists, who really just want to fuck shit up, and that's what they're going to do regardless. And then you have the looters. And the looters almost exclusively are just there to do that, to loot. Now, people are like, well, what did you gain? Well, what did you get from looting? I think that as long as we're focusing on the what, we're not focusing on the why. And that's my issue with that. As long as we're focusing on what they're doing, we're not focusing on why they're doing. And some people are like, well, those aren't people who are legitimately angry about what's happening. Those are people who just want to get stuff. Okay, well then, let's go with that. Let's say that's what it is. Let's ask ourselves why in this country in 2020, the financial gap between poor blacks and the rest of the world is at such a distance that people feel like their only hope and only opportunity to get some of the things that we flaunt and flash in front of them all the time is to walk through a broken glass window and get it. That they are so hopeless that getting that necklace, getting that TV, getting that change, getting that bed, getting that phone, whatever it is that they're going to get, is that in that moment when the riots happen and if they present an opportunity of looting, that's their only opportunity to get it. We need to be questioning that why. Why are people that poor? Why are people that broke? Why are people that food insecure, that clothing insecure, that they feel like their only shot, that they are shooting their shot by walking through a broken glass window to get what they need? And then people want to talk about, well, there's plenty of people who pulled themselves up by their bootstraps and got it on their own. Why can't they do that? Let me explain to you something about economics in America. And I'm so glad that as a child, I got an opportunity to spend time at PUSH where they taught me this, is that we must never forget that economics was the reason that black people were brought to this country. We came to do the agricultural work in the South and the textile work in the North. Do you understand that? That's what we came to do. We came to do the agricultural work in the South and the textile work in the North. Now, if I right now decided that I wanted to play Monopoly with you, and for 400 rounds of playing Monopoly, I didn't allow you to have any money, I didn't allow you to have anything on the board, I didn't allow for you to have anything. And then we played another 50 rounds of Monopoly, and everything that you gained and you earned while you were playing that round of Monopoly was taken from you. That was Tulsa, that was Rosewood. Those are places where we built black economic wealth, where we were self-sufficient, where we owned our store, where we owned our property, and they burned them to the ground. So that's 450 years. So for 400 rounds of Monopoly, you don't get to play at all. Not only do you not get to play, you have to play on the behalf of the person that you're playing against. You have to play and make money and earn wealth for them, and then you have to turn it over to them. So then for 50 years, you finally get a little bit and you're allowed to play. And every time that they don't like the way that you're playing, or that you're catching up, or that you're doing something to be self-sufficient, they burn your game. They burn your cards. They burn your Monopoly money. And then finally at the release and the onset of that, they allow you to play and they say, okay, now you catch up. Now at this point, the only way you're going to catch up in the game is if the person shares the wealth, correct? But what if every time you share the wealth, then there's psychological warfare against you to say, oh, you're an equal opportunity hire. So if I played 400 rounds of Monopoly with you and I had to play and give you every dime that I made, and then for 50 years, every time that I played, if you didn't like what I did, you got to burn it like they did in Tulsa and like they did in Rosewood. How can you win? How can you win? You can't win. The game is fixed. So when they say, why do you burn down the community? Why do you burn down your own neighborhood? It's not ours. We don't own anything. We don't own anything. There is, Trevor Noah said it so beautifully last night. There's a social contract that we all have, that if you steal or if I steal, then the person who is the authority comes in and they fix the situation. But the person who fixes the situation is killing us. So the social contract is broken. And if the social contract is broken, why the fuck do I give a shit about burning the fucking Football Hall of Fame, about burning a fucking Target?
So the transition was, how did that go? Like, you're from a Chicago native, but you're now in Arizona, so tell us a little bit about that.
Well, truthfully, being from Chicago, everyone knows that if you're from Chicago, you're really not from Chicago. When I say that, it's like your family. Your family's probably from somewhere south, somewhere, whether it be Louisiana, Mississippi, Memphis, they were using for someone south, Alabama, something, places like that. But so for me, my family were Mississippi natives. Mother, father, okay. Grandparents, all that. So I visited parts of this country while I was younger because we always took those long drives for family reunions and things like that. So when I ended up doing everything else I did in the world and ended up going to the military, I was stationed in New York, exactly where you are in the state of New York. And at that point, after going overseas and seeing some things, I never really had that emotion of knowing exactly what home is anymore. So I was always on the move, and that was pretty much just sparked my transition to come out here. It wasn't just out here that was my main goal. I had actually another black man had looked out for me. He told me that I reminded him of himself as a young black man, and he wanted to give me a chance just to see what I'd do with it. And that was my opportunity. I seen it,
and you heard took it,
and I took it. I just ran, and now I live out here. I ain't gonna say luxurious life, but something a little bit better on the scenery part, but we still face things that we still face in Chicago, of me being my skin color, but it's not as us put out to the front as it would be anywhere else.
Okay, fair enough. So that was very informative to the T.
Put that on that beat. Shawty made that cut, she don't need no applause. High fashion, like Goyard, G-Wagon, or the Rover. I put some ice on you cause you got a cold heart. I know I gotta keep my shawty on go. Drop that to the floor, bro. Yeah. Whoa. You ain't gotta deal with none of this no more. If we hop in the Benz, is that okay? Is it okay if I call you my Prada, babe? I ain't no player, I just got a lot of babe. But let me tell you, I like you a lot, babe. I wanna start at the top and the bottom, babe. Now you want to shoot with the red at the bottom, babe. You know I like when you right at the top, babe. She wants your name and D-O-Yo. I'm only doing cash, I don't need promo. I pull up to the high rise, I'm in the 4-4. Inside Coco. If I got a feeling, I keep it inside my heart. And I keep a pedicure cause I don't do facades. You can see my diamonds even when I'm in the dark. And since you got it, it make you go and do anything. Shawty made that cut, she don't need no applause. High fashion, like Goyard, G-Wagon, or the Rover. I put some ice on you cause you got a cold heart. I know I gotta keep my shawty on go. Drop that to the floor. Whoa. You ain't gotta deal with none of it no more. If we hop in the Benz, is that okay? Is it okay if I call you my Prada, babe? I ain't no player, I just got a lot of faith. But let me tell you, I like you a lot, babe. I wanna start at the top and the bottom, babe. Now you want to shoot with the red at the bottom, babe. You know I like when you right at the top, babe. If I hit it front or back, she gon' hit the sidewalk. If she got a best friend with her, take her back to my law. Got a 5 in the morning, wildin', wildin'. And then they made Megan, but she a stallion.
Never keep my divided. Remember I was pulling up in the valley. And you know I take her so when she ride.
Sweaty in the stockings, oh. Shawty know to drop it low like a limo. Every time we kick it like Timbo.
Shawty made that clap, she don't need no applause.
I put some ice on you cause you got a cold heart. I know I gotta keep my shorty on go.
Drop that to the floor, yeah.
Shorty made that clap, she don't need no applause. High fashion, like Goyard, G-Wagon, or the Rover. I put some ice on you cause you got a cold heart.
I know I gotta keep my shorty on go. Drop that to the floor, yeah.
Whoa, you ain't gotta deal with none of these no more. If we hopping the Benz, is that okay? Is it okay if I call you my Prada, babe? I ain't no player, I just got a lot of babe. But let me tell you, I like you a lot, babe. I wanna start at the top and the bottom, babe. Now you want to shoot with the red at the bottom, babe. You know I like when you right at the top, babe.
Out here, when I first moved out here, I moved out here in October. When I first came out here, I was still on my, I guess you say, my Chicago swag. And that's what I guess after what people say, I still had that hostile tone where everything I said came out like this because that's just where I'm from. Okay. And New Yorkers have that too. You know, you guys definitely have that. We had that.
I'm laughing. We
had, yeah, we had that, that grit, like, yeah, right here. But when I got out here, I'll say probably within my first 48 hours, I ran into about 4 people that asked me, how am I doing? Now, normally, where I'm from, or New York, or any big city that I've visited or stayed for a while, how you doing is something that you say as you continue to walk. Or maybe raise 2 fingers as a peace, or you nod your head, you put up a fist, depending on who you're talking to or how you're feeling at the moment. Out here, though, when they asked me how am I doing, I felt like if I didn't give them a real answer of how I was really feeling, we were going to have a problem. But it made...
In a way, I'm sorry, excuse me. And you say, okay, so a problem, meaning... A confrontation, all-out confrontation.
I'm not saying a physical altercation, but okay, a confrontation.
It'd be a verbal confrontation.
Exactly. Okay. So it'd be like, "Hello, I'm waiting on your answer. How you doing?" Like things like that. And wow. This was people of all different races. They'll say, "Oh, hey, how are you doing?" And I'd be like, hi, and start to walk, but you'll feel them still staring at you, like, and see when, could you give me an answer? I really want to know how you're doing. So after the second time that I noticed that, when people started asking me, how am I doing? I'm like, oh, I'm doing great. How are you? They're like, well, I'm great. My kids are doing good. The family's like this. How's yours? And it blew my mind. It was literally mind blowing. Because, like I said, I'm coming from a place where I'm not used to this, where we barely talk to each other, anybody. Even in relation, relatives, we barely talk to each other. We always give out the hand nod, a black fist going there, whatever. So seeing somebody just come up to me and say, oh, how you doing, Dell? My kids, I'm like, I'm good. And how are you? I'm doing great. And they're like, oh, happy to hear that, such and such. And I'm like, whoa, this is weird. But wow. It changed. Like, it changed me. It humbled me even more. And what made it humbling to me, which most people will boast about, it humbled me down and it, like, pushed me, like, made me respect my manners because the simple fact that I know something that they don't. A lot of people here are not from here, but they're not from a place where we're from. They haven't seen... the things that I have seen, the what they call the hood and the ghetto here, to me, is high class living. Literally.
So let me ask this. I'm sorry to cut you short. Your thought short. Do you think that you have PTSD because of what you've seen?
PTSD.
What did I say?
PTSD. I said, I don't know what that means. I'm pretty sure she's coming at me.
Listen, honestly, that's hilarious because I never get it right. You told me that and I'm still going to get it wrong. So I don't even
care. I got
you. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, I don't know if my brain is not wired to take those letters, that acronym, but I just always get it wrong. Like, I guess I have HDD for the PSTD or PSDD, whatever the hell it is.
your brain just does not like acronyms. We're going to stick with that.
I cannot get it. I'm telling you. I mean, but you know, when I say that, I know what I mean. Are you shell shocked from seeing all the bullshit? Like, let me talk to you in RNS.
I don't know if I was allowed to lay into that.
I mean, but look. I the reason why I named the show "I Can't Make This Up" is because I really wanted to be a little friendly. Family friendly to a certain extent, so that people, even not even just family friendly, but some people do not like cursing or, you know, swearing. So I try to keep it as clean as I can. There are times where I let it go and it's on some RNS. So right now, I want to know if you shaking your boots in your own way, not saying you're in the corner and crying and everything, because we have a result of our scaredness, the way we, our reaction to being scared or fearful is different. It all varies. But I'm just saying, like, do you have a syndrome where you feel that the things that you've seen has impacted your life and made you be and feel and act a certain way?
Well, let's be honest. That's what life is. Truthfully, that's what growing up is. That's what maturing is. That's what adulting is. That's what being a parent is. That's all of the above. That is literally what life is. Everything that you have going through is going to shape your life in some type of way. Whether it be you use it and you take a hold of it and grasp it and put it towards your everyday life so that you can learn from those mistakes. Well, I'm not going to say mistakes. Yeah, I'll say mistakes. I definitely would rather stick with mistakes. The mistakes that you feel that you have made, because I feel like nothing is a mistake. It's just a learning capability. So
right, and that's why I intervened with saying the phrase errors in judgment, because I was
errors in judgment. Okay, yeah, I can definitely agree with that.
You don't make mistakes. We do things consciously or unconsciously, but we do things. So they're just errors in judgment. You made an error.
Yeah, so within your errors and judgment, so you either apply that or you don't. But either way, if you don't apply it, you're going to run into it again because you're still going to be that person that ran into it the first time. But if
because
you do
still
apply
have to
it,
learn that lesson, you still have to.
Exactly. So that's okay. What I'm saying. When you said from the things I have seen, that's life. I have no choice.
So would you say that the things that you've seen have made, even if they've impacted you negatively, have they made you the better man or made you worse? Or could you have done without it? Do you think you'd be better off without it, or you don't regret going through anything that you've been through, whether hard or easy?
Me to myself. And I can't judge off anybody else's life or what they have been through, because there's always somebody worse. My mother used to give me a saying, if you think your life's bad, come spend the night at my house. And that meant it for anybody. I love that saying still to this day, because the point of it saying was that it's always somebody doing worse off than you. It's always somebody. You can feel like you're in the worst world in the world. It's always somebody doing a little bit worse than you. So keep pushing. Because if they keep on pushing, you need to keep on pushing. But so I can't say in my life personally, I don't feel like I went through anything that was easy. Nothing. I think the easiest thing that I've been through was being born, and my mother had a C-section. So that I'm pretty sure that wasn't easy for her either. So not too easy.
Down to sleep. Hey, I pray to Lord my soul to keep. Yes. Pull up, make I bleed. Hey, I got what I overseas. Hey, power by like NBA. Hey, power by like MVP. Hey, I got money like MVP. I'm with the gang, I'm with the mob. What was you thinking? Remember them days in that was hard and been thinking. I put a phone in a 20 ounce and been drinking. If you with the squad, I give you my heart, look, I mean it. I was fighting some demons. And if it come deep in, I was raised in a deep end. I know be sinking. Take your go deep in, but I give it back while you tweaking. Come around with that rah-rah, we leave you dead on the cement. With the game, we ain't playing fair. Matter of fact, we don't play at all. OG was in the air, but we better run till we smoke it all. Putting on the front, boy, you better fall. We don't kill them dead, we don't kill them all. May spend a 10 when I'm in the mall. I was on the bend with it in my draw. If that smoking, I'm blacking. If that smoking, I black out. If he run, blow his back down. I was gone, but I'm back down. You go forward, but I never back down. In the school, I was trapping. In the school, you was class clown. Hey, I'm down to sleep. Hey, I pray to Lord my soul to keep. Lock me up, I got the keys, yeah. Pull up and make all the bleed. Ay, I'm down to sleep. Ay, I pray to Lord my soul to keep, yeah.
Lock me up, I got the
keys, yeah. Pull up and make all the bleed. Ay, I got what I overseas. Ay, how about I hit NBA? Ay, how about I hit MVP? I got money, envy me.
I'm with the gang, I'm with the mob. What was you thinking? Remember them days in that was hard and been thinking. I put a phone in a 20 ounce and been drinking. If you with the squad, I give you my heart, look, I mean it. I was fighting some demons, and if it come deep in, I was raising a deep end. I know be sinking. Take your go deep in, but I give it back while you tweaking. Come around with that rah rah, we leave you dead on the cement.
It has made me, because after being starting to grow and starting to pay attention to life and the cycle of everything that's going on in the world, I have applied things to my everyday life that I have learned in the past or been through in the past. So, of course, it has shaped me. But I would not trade it for the world. I wouldn't. Just because I know I'm not perfect, nor is there such thing as perfect. Or I'm not where I want to be. But without me seeing the things that I have seen and doing the things that I have already done in the past, I wouldn't even know where I would want to be.
Okay. That makes sense.
My dreams come true. My life in diamonds. Who knew? Who knew?
So
let me down.
Oh.
how did you feel about seeing or witnessing? Because, I mean, you weren't physically there, but witnessing the George Floyd murder. How did you feel about that?
Okay. Now that we're actually on this topic, I'm going to the family of Oscar Grant and his daughter. I would like to find definitely holds a deep place in my heart, and that's just it's just something about his story that always touched me since I first read it and first seen what happened, even the reenactment of it. It always touched me since it holds a place in my heart. So definitely, your life does matter, and it adds to me. But watching it, being from a soldier standpoint, I feel like I have two different standpoints on it. And I'll say that I have the soldier mentality and standpoint, and I have that street black man mentality and standpoint. And the reason I have to differentiate the two is because some of the force as a soldier, because I was a military police officer, some of the force I understood. Some.
Right, because it seems like that is, I don't want to cut you off, but I just want to place this part so that you can elaborate on what I'm about to say. Some of it looks like technique that's being taught inside of training, because it looks like you pin a person down with your knee.
See, but that's not complete training. Now, training reveals that you don't pin them down with your knee. You put them between a hard place and your knee, because your knee is the stabilization of your ground.
Ah, see?
That's why if you ever see it, like even if you look at that video, he's by a tire, something strong and sturdy that weighs more, and his knee is on top of him. Well, their knees are on top of him.
Yeah, because a bunch of them sitting on it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That was their knees. The training is to put your knee between, put my knee between the outside world and between that hard place I got you pinned between, because that way I know you can't move. But that's so only words, really taught when you're not already constrained.
So in other words, a hard place, put them between a hard place and a rock.
Exactly. A rock and a hard place. That knee is the hard place. That curve, that car is the rock. Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Because the reason behind that is, if anything was to happen, I'm stable, not from the point that you can move, but the point that if somebody tried to come get you, I can save you. Protect and serve. I'm still, supposedly, I'm supposed to be still about the people.
That's a bunch of bull crap. You know what I mean? Because I just feel like, you know, and I want to just touch on this real quick, because you know, perception is as unique as a fingerprint. You know, I always say that. So I'm saying that because each angle gave us a different perception, each eye into the George Floyd murder. You know what I mean? Because someone from across the street near the bus stop, looking on the side that they had him on, saw the murder and taped it themselves. Then the people, the young lady and the guy that was standing on the side where we can see the murderer's eyes, that murderous renegade cop's eyes look into the camera, that was another angle. And then there's another angle from across the street where they first picked him up from, where his car was parked at.
Yes, I see that too, yeah.
So it's like, it's so many different angles. And when you see the different angles, you get to see a clear picture of, murder. That's what I see. I see over excessive force. This is beyond excessive force.
Pure unadulterated murder. I agree. And I'm not agreeing because I'm black.
I don't care what you did, because there's some things that's going to come out. I was supposed to send you this video, but I did not send you the video. But you saw the video yourself.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the video. The video I speak of is the one that's on duckduckgo.com. Excuse me. Duckduckgo.com. When you put in George Floyd and put in baggy, And then you see him dropping some sort of a substance, a white baggie with, well, a clear baggie with white substance or whatever it is. I don't give a good God, you know what, like, I don't care. He still didn't deserve the way he was murdered. And then we have this degenerate, I call her degenerate. She thinks she's doing a service of outing this situation. Like, nobody's hiding. I don't think the family or anybody's gonna hide that, the fact that we all go through shit.
We all have vices, look, indeed.
I've never done it myself. I've never done that. But I've indulged in other things and other
stuff.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, do I judge you based on your leisure, what you want to do in your leisure? Shit, if you was born in the 70s, that was the thing. You was cool if you did that shit. So, I mean, I'm not saying that that's a cool thing. Please be aware of what I'm saying. I'm just saying that she put this lady, Candace Owens, put this video out, this 14-minute video, trying to defame a dead man's character, and then tried to make light out of it by saying, oh, you know, she basically says she believes in giving people first and second chances, but third, fourth, and fifth chances. He was a criminal. He did this, he did that. And I'm just like, how dare you judge this man? Because look, right now we look up to Malcolm X. I look up to Malcolm X. I don't care. They can call me whatever they want. I really think he was an official leader. Somebody that we could really use right now to shed light on some things that people were just lost about. And he did drugs. And he went to jail numerous times. But he changed his life. And we can't be judged about what we did yesterday.
I don't wanna go there. We should never go there. Why you wanna go there? I guess I gotta go there. You're hearing rumors about me, and you can't stomach the thought of someone touching my body when you're so close to my heart. I won't deny what they're saying, because most of it is true. But it was all before I fell for you. So please, babe, please don't judge me, and I won't judge you. 'Cause it can get ugly before it gets beautiful. Please don't judge me, and I won't judge you. And if you love me, then let it be beautiful. 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 Everything I say right now, it's gonna be used in another fight. And I've been through this so many times. Can we change the subject? You're gonna start asking me questions like, was she attractive? Was she an actress? Maybe the fact is, you're hearing rumors about me. And saw some pictures online saying they got you so angry, making you wish you were right. Before we start talking crazy, saying some things will be right. Can we just slow it down and rest, you said?
Doing a service for my country and my family. And that means saving the people I love and I care about. And that's what I do.
Yes, ma'am.
Chris, wait! Chris! Chris!
If you love me, let it be beautiful. Just let the past just be the past. Focus on time that I'm gonna make us last. Take me as I am, not who I was. Promise I'll be the one that you can trust. So please.
I feel like, number one, we don't know what that substance is or what that could be. That literally could have been what they want us to believe or what she has put out. So, oh, that's a baggie. That's a substance. That could have been chipping off a wall. We really don't know. At the end of the day, and we would never know, truthfully, because even how bad that camera was, somebody's going to try to zoom in and say, oh, look, we see a line in it or this and this and blah, blah, blah. But what people also do not realize, before they put you in handcuffs, they check your pockets.
Right.
They check your hands. So I was already on the flip of like, I can't see that really happening because, number one, I have to check your pockets and check your hands before I put you in cuffs. Because first off, I don't want you to break my cuffs. Number two, I don't want you to break out. Number three, I don't want to get stabbed or hurt and my life be threatened by you with something that you may have in your pocket, in your belt, in your hand, any of that.
Right. I mean, even
so,
if,
I feel like that's me
if
personally.
Even advocate and say that was something. Who gives a shit? It still didn't warrant his murder. It didn't.
That's what I'm saying. And that's exactly what I'm saying.
If you look at that video of him laying on the floor, man, he struggled. And he had a point where he was foaming at the mouth and everything. Like, I believe that was piss that was coming from that line of water that you see if you look at the video. Like, they sat on him so bad and hurt him. He was like, yo, you in my, your knee is in my, you know what, like, in my penis. Like, come on. Like, he was suffering. It was that's ridiculous, man. And
yeah, he was suffering. This man called for his mother. His mother is gone. His mother's
gone. Like, yeah, like, mama, like, come on, man. He's like, my face, I can't breathe. Come on. Like, you ever been pinned down by somebody and you play fighting and they pinning you down and you feel like you have to die? That's probably, I mean, he probably felt that 20,000 times worse because they was really not playing with him. And they was really serious about that. And I just feel sad for the people that really know him. Like, we just the world. We the world. We don't even know him, how his friend know him, how his brother. That was his twin, his brother. Like, I could see it in his eyes. I have a person that, you know, used to be very close to me. I would still consider her my sister. We just don't speak anymore. We're estranged sisters. That's my sister from another mother. And like, literally, you know, she my twin. And I can't really even see, even if we not talking, like, I can't, oh my God, if something happened to her, you know, I would hope if something happened to me, she would, like, that's the feeling I got when I heard him talk about his brother and how he talked about his friend, like, and I got the picture that he was a good guy. So we're going to judge a man based on his indulgence and the way he wants to do his thing or have fun or have his whatever, like, we here now, like,
it's like you can't. We can't even say that. That's trying to judge somebody off of someone else's perception of whatever they want to call truth and justice. That's like the saying I think everyone's going with right now. It says no justice, no peace. The original saying to that is no K-N-O-W, no justice, K-N-O-W, no peace. Then it's no justice, no peace, because you have to know the difference.
Right. Right.
And as a people, we're exactly. As a people, we're losing this.
Because you don't, most people don't know justice. Most people don't know peace. Most people don't know love.
Exactly.
Here's the thing, because there's a difference between love and unconditional love. And when you love somebody without conditions, you look past and beyond that bullshit. And if you love people in general, you look above and beyond that. So,
That's the same thing to tell somebody loving you until death or unto death. It's a wordplay. Until death means when you die, I will no longer love you. Unto death means after and beyond that, I will still love you the same.
All right, people. I'm going to write something on the board. Let's spell it. First letter. What's that?
Love.
How many people know any songs about love?
Right here. Yeah, I know a lot about love.
Tell me some titles. What's the song?
Love.
It's a song called Love.
Yeah.
It's no a song called
Love. It's by Kirk Franklin.
All right, what is it?
It goes love. It goes love.
Go ahead. Okay. Anybody else is the only song you know about love?
What's that? Do it.
I can't hear you. What about any movies about love? You know any movies about love?
Love,
Titanic.
All right.
Romeo and Juliet.
Did you know that was about love when you saw that on TV? They said it was about love.
At the end of the day, there is nobody on this earth that should be able to tell you when you can and cannot walk this earth any longer. Nobody. I feel that personally. The only time that I would give an exception, me, is when it comes to the greater loss of life. I've done stuff in Afghanistan that I'm not saying I'm proud of, but at the same time, I'm proud of it. Because it's still chess, not checkers. I will take a life if I have to sacrifice that one to save 10.
So let me ask you this. Okay, let's just put this on the table. You are, in respect for being from the streets, you are of what organization or...
Growth and development.
Okay, growth and development. Is that GDs?
It depends on who's speaking on it. Because it could be looked at as a gangster disciple. But I'm not a gangster disciple. I'm about the growth and development of my community. And that's point blank, period. Myself, my community, and my family.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid.
just as long as you stand, stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand. Stand by me. Stand by me. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountain should crumble to the sea, I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear, just as long as you stand, stand by me.
On my neck, it was no smut on my rap. Last time that I checked, I was selling souls in the set, make a quarter mil, no sweat. Last time that I checked, I'm the streets' voice out west, legendary self-made progress. Last time that I checked, first spent the money, then respect, then the power and the hoes come next. Last time that I checked, I've been self-made from the dribble. I was been saying I'm a killer, nah. Playing no games with you niggas, pop clutch, switch lanes on you niggas, nah. I laid down the game for you niggas, taught you how to charge more than what they paid for you niggas. On the whole thing for you niggas, reinvest, double up, then explain for you niggas, it gotta be love. Run the city, it gotta be cut. Just for the pieces I took off the Monopoly board. Hey, y'all niggas false claims, it gotta be fraud. Just keep the hood about your mouth and you gotta be charged. I doubled up, tripled up, nigga what? Banged on the whole game, I ain't give a fuck. Nobody tripping, had no business, got my digits up. And when I drop, you know I'm about to fuck the city up. It was five chains on my neck, it was no smut on my rap. Last time that I checked, I was selling zones in the set, make a quarter mil, no sweat. Last time that I checked, I'm the streets' voice out west, legendary self-made progress. Last time that I checked, first you get the money, then respect, then the power and the hoes come next. Last time that I checked, ain't no come through fly, no cosign, I ain't need radio to do mine. I done fine and I take my time and take my tribe. Every level that I crossed in this game like state lines, it was visionary. Either I'm genius or you niggas scary. Maybe it's both in this balance I deliver daily. For every nigga in these streets trying to feed the babies, the single mamas working hard not to miss a payment, and dirty money get washed on royalty statements. Black owners in this game are powerful races. Young niggas in the set just doing it makeshift out the garage. It's how you end up in charge, it's how you end up in penthouses, end up in cars. It's how you start off a curb server, end up a boss. It's how you win the whole thing and lift up a cigar with sweat dripping down your face, cause the mission was last time that I checked, it was five chains on my neck, it was no smut on my rap. Last time that I checked, I was selling zones in the set, make a quarter mil, no sweat. Last time that I checked, I'm the streets' voice out west, legendary self-made progress. Last time that I checked, first you get the money, then respect, then the power and the hoes come next. Last time that I checked,
I got the front and in the back, we on the way and that's a fact. This real, this ain't rap, where everybody wanna act pro-black. The last lie you heard, this ain't that. This, that, I didn't, made it out the gutter shit. Nip told you fuck the middle man, I told you fuck a bitch. Fuck wearing they clothes, I wear my own shit.
Y'all get on y'all label, I on my own. Bitch, hey, man, I remember all that game you throw me. Don't fuck around and get played by the label owners. Talk that shit to these niggas, Adrian Broner. But secure the window, don't let the game fold you. Cause when this game over, it's when the game over. And all they do is play the game till this game over. And you be giving game like a big brother mission. Never let them take it from us.
Last time that I checked, it was 5 chains on my neck. It was no smut on my rap last time that I checked. I was selling zones in the set. Make a quarter mil, no sweat last time that I checked. I'm the streets voice out west. Legendary self-made progress last time that I checked. First you get the money, then respect. Then the power and the hoes come next last time that I checked.
No.
I'm just saying, nope. Everybody got a vice. Drinking, last time I checked, drinking and smoking is legal until you drink so much or you smoke so much.
Well, I mean, a drug is a drug is a drug is a drug, right?
Exactly.
I mean, because like I've been in trouble myself and I had to go to the drug program for weed. And I'm like, damn, you know, you in here with all these people. And you like, I'm not even a drug addict. I smoke weed, B. I smoke weed. So, you know, you ain't here with people nodding off.
Yeah, you and people like, I can get you this for you to be a what?
Because they were crackheads, but how am I different? Because the drug is a drug.
A drug.
If you drink alcohol, you doing drugs. If you eat too much food, you doing drugs.
You drink too much water. That's a drug.
Well, I mean, that's your drug. That's your vice. If you could be in a relationship with a person and that could be your drug. You know?
Indeed.
Because that's your addict. An addict is an addict. And that's, you could drink too much coffee. You could have too much tea. You could drink too much wine. Like that's why it's I mean,
shopping is a drug. You know, not just ingesting.
Is a drug.
Yeah, people think
shopping,
I don't want people to think just by ingesting stuff.
I'm
no.
Sure, I'm pretty sure, like, I'm not saying that people get hyped up on coffee and then they kill people, because I never heard of anything like that. But that person could drink coffee. A murderer could drink coffee every morning. He probably don't do nothing else, but he drink coffee. He gotta have his coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Or I've heard, man, listen. I stand corrected because I have an aunt who, listen, she don't have her coffee and you talking in her ear, she might murder your ass. So, I'm keeping real. Like,
I know, that's why it makes it funny. Like, you might just get up out of here, bro.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, you know, everybody has their vices, like you said, and nobody's perfect.
You've been listening to yours truly, right here on I Can't Make This Up. Don't forget to like, follow, and share. Until next time, peace.
For like 10, pregnant with my mom's doctor told her it was slim. Was bankrolled for 9 months, but gave birth in the end. Pops turned 60, he proud what we done. In one generation, he came from Africa young. He said he met my mom's at the Century Club. Los Angeles love, kinda like hustle and book. Money turned 10, cross turned 2. Starting to see this life shift from a bird's view. We the ones that made millions off the curve. Fool in this rap shit, 10, never made nerd moves.
You keep taking me higher and higher, yeah.
Callum,
but don't you know that the devil is a liar?
Hey.
I know.
Right back.
They'd rather see me down, put my soul in the fire. But we keep going higher, higher.
50 out the clip, it was broad day. Fuck niggas always gotta learn the hard way. We gon' tape it off if we ball play. Put a half a moon crescent on your ball fade. Police hit the lights, that's a car chase. Looking back at my life, make my heart race. Dance with the devil and test all faith. I was thinking chess moves, but it was God grace. Crooked ass whoever till we all straight. With no shame, I peep game and it's all fate. South Central state of mind, high crime rate. Homicide, hate gang banging to get you all day. Look at my face.
Keep taking me higher and higher.
Told Calabas to phone to the bar break.
But don't you know that the devil is a liar? I know they'd rather see me down, put my soul in the fire. But we keep going. So high, we keep going higher.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is your girl, Frenchie B, and you've been listening to I Can't Make This Shit Up. I'd like to say a very special thank you to my guest, Cam Anonymous, for showing up and showing out. I'd also like to dedicate this show to the memories of our fallen soldiers, and also salute the soldiers that are still in the game fighting to make a difference.